Company, this is your home of independent, fearless, and credible journalism. Let's hit the grounds.
We are all involved. We are all.
And these are sounds of hundreds of Ghanaians who have poured onto the streets of Accra singing patriotic songs to demand an immediate halt in the sale of the majority of SNITS stake in four hotels to Rock City, owned by Minister of Agriculture Brian Ichampong. The aggrieved protesters say they will push until the deal is completely off the table. We can hear some of them and representatives of organized labor who say the deal robs them of their future.
Every community defines themselves by their tribe, by their clan, by their language and their assets. In order to lift people out of poverty, they need to be able to use it to benefit them for the production of the economy. Now, the hotels, what is important is that the Alodan landowners must be given equity share in this hotel. If there's nothing wrong with giving 30% of the equity shares of all these hotels to the Alodia landowners. And therefore, if you are going to sell it, sit down with them, think about it. Now, what is the benefit to our people? Have you thought about it?
Well, we can also hear from the North Tong MP, Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa, who's been leading the crusade against the sale of these hotels, who says together with the minority in parliament, they will do everything to ensure the deal does not see the light of day.
Our intervention was timely. We didn't want to be presented with a fait accompli where they will say, oh, it's too late. We've already sold it to him. We caught them right on time. What we want to hear is that the president announces to the nation today that they have aborted this transaction. They have stopped the sale. The whole policy of selling state assets, particularly profitable ones like Labadi Beach Hotel, is no longer on the books and they are no longer going to do that. That is what we want to hear. And we want him to also commit that when we are done with our private members bill, which will ban all politicians and politically exposed persons from buying state assets, he will assent to it.
He's also been debunking claims that the action is against local investment.
Unemployment rate has worsened. So if you are a real local investor who has money, put up your own hotel. Why do you want to come and buy government hotels, hotels that have been built with our worker contributions? Cheap way out. And look at what they're even offering. There's no value for money. SNITS own valuation report says that the four hotels are valued at $121 million. The Honorable Brian Chapo is offering only $61 million, which he says he'll pay over a three-year period. It's just work and pay.
Well, leadership of the minority are also on the ground. Minority Chief Whip Kwame Abuja says the sale is evidence of the state's capture that has become a feature of President Akufo-Addo-led government.
If you try, sell this hotel to Brian Ichampong and see whether he can actually take possession of it. That our constitution says resist oppressor's rule. If you know something is right, if you see somebody murdering somebody, you don't wait and go to court. You make an attempt to stop the person from committing the crime first. Yeah. This is an attempt. What we are doing now is an attempt to stop the commission of a crime before we go to court. So it is quite clear. Even if it's Okudzeto's company who is buying this, we shall resist it because SNITS hotels, majority of them are more profitable than Rock City. That is a fact. All options are available to us. This is option number one. Options number two is in parliament. Others are still available to us.
Can you disclose the others to us?
When we get to that bridge, we shall cross it.
That's the Minority Chief Whip Governs Kwame Agbuja. My colleague Maxo Agbagba has been on the ground all morning, joins us on the line with the further updates on this situation. Maxo, are the protesters at their final destination? And where exactly are you, can you say, and what's happening?
Well, we are currently very close to the Elwak Sports Stadium. So we're just about 3 kilometers away from the final destination, which is the Jubilee House. The protesters have been walking all the way from the Labadi Beach Hotel to this point. It's a decent go way in the middle of the road to allow the splintered groups, to come together so they could walk together. As stands right now, they are continuing with the work with the police team, police as well, deployed here to ensure all of their garage control here, accompanying them right now to the Jubilee House. Well, many of them who we have been speaking to tell us that they came to join this protest purposely to call for immediate halt in this particular deal in the field of these hotels to the Rock City. So, many of them have been carrying placards, which carry the exact sentiment. Some of them, I can read this one here, I see here says Gabriel. There's another one here which says, crying, you're a bad boy, stay off our hotel. There's another one here, hands off our hotel. They are stealing our future. Another one here says, dive a banza, make banza. And another one here I see here says, fire Osapo Papu. So many of them we're speaking to say that they are tired of what they describe as state capture. And they describe this walk to the Jubilee House as a long walk to freedom. They say it is a freedom, a long walk to freedom, a freedom from what they describe as cronyism and then state capture.
Let me stay on the expression of sentiment that you've been talking about in terms of the placards amongst others. We know there's been intermittent pouring of libation on the streets also by some traditional priests. What exactly is the significance of that?
Exactly, Elifa. So we've had one of the traditional processions for the lab community. He has joined this process. And intermittently, he would stop in the middle of the road to pour libation. So he poured libation first at the Labad Hotel, and then poured another one at the Mapam Royal Beach Hotel. He again stopped and then poured another one at the Trade Fair. And he said that the people who are poured onto the streets here carry the sentiment of some of them doubtful, because they feel that for a very long time, properties, state lands and state properties, that half of them have actually been taken over by government. And the appointment by this to ensure that these properties are returned to them.
Well, what was saying was that the government should ask anyone who is stealing the land, who is cheating the Gandangwe people, who has forcibly stolen our Alodia properties, they should come and answer. And he actually thrown down the champagne bottle to invoke a curse on anyone who continuously steal from the land community.
You heard that Dr. Ishmael Niyama Dodu is leader of Gandangwe Alliance for Change, explaining the meaning of the words spoken by the priest who poured the libation away from that demonstration. Though the health minister says the proposed mandatory health insurance policy for non-resident visitors to Ghana is still under consideration by the National Health Insurance Authority. Dr. Bernardo Koboy says cabinet has not yet approved it. Earlier, reports suggested that starting from July 1, 2024, foreign nationals arriving in Ghana must purchase a compulsory health insurance policy ranging from $45 to $270 before being admitted into the country. Well, this is what the chief executive of the NHIA told us last month on the policy.
One thing that I have to mention, one of the things that we are bringing on board is also the case that our visitors coming to this country must have mandatory health insurance. When you travel to when you travel there and you are sick, you need to benefit from the NHIA.
Right.
Okay, there. So it's the same thing. Visitors come. In fact, it's covered in our act that the non-Ghanaians must be covered. So I've seen a situation where some of my friends have come to this country and they are sick and they are calling me. Which facilities do we go? So what we're doing is that once we give them mandatory visitors insurance, then it means that we designate facilities for them. So when they come and they are not well, they can go there. In fact, that can also bring additional resources to the NHIA, and which is really fantastic. It's also a case of expanding the scheme. And, you know, the Ghana card will also be issued to non-Ghanaians. So once we do that, it is all towards achieving the universal health coverage. For me, it's very good. And I think those are the things that we must be focusing on. And I'm excited that obviously all these things are coming together for the government.
Well, that's the NHIA boss sometime back last month on the AM show, Dr. Da Costa Abuaje. Well, the health ministry has issued a statement saying that President Akufo-Addo's cabinet is yet to approve this particular policy. My colleague Elton Brobe joins me in studio with more on this particular statement. Let's get into it.
They say that they would like to clarify that the recent announcement regarding the mandatory health insurance policy for non-Ghanaians resident visiting Ghana is a proposal from the National Health Insurance Authority and not a policy of Ghana. government. Whilst the proposal aims to ensure that foreign nationals have access to healthcare during their stay in Ghana, it is important to know that it has not yet been discussed or approved by Parliament. We urge the public to disregard any misinformation that may suggest the policy has been finalized and its mode of implementation settled. We assure the public that any policy and implementation shall be scrutinized and taken through all the necessary protocols to establish the benefits of, to the people of Ghana before being, you know, settled on. This is signed by Dr. Bernard Okoboy.
But you've been digging and you stumbled on a policy developed in 2023 on this particular subject. What did you find?
So, MFA, first, if you take a look at the health ministry statement, they say that the proposal is from the National Health Insurance Authority. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the policy, the National Health Insurance Authority had no role in this. Mm. In fact, they were just part of a long list of ministers and government agents that were invited to fine-tune this policy. And this was spearheaded by the Minister of Health under Kwaku Ajimamenu. Mm. And it goes on to explain the rationale behind this policy. It says that the absence of a standardized and comprehensive policy of this nature not only jeopardizes the health and safety of non-resident visitors, but also inadvertently imposes an economic burden on Ghana's healthcare infrastructure system and economy. Uninsured or inadequately health insured non-resident visitors often contribute to the escalation of uncompensated care costs, thereby leading to a strain on the country's healthcare facilities and diversion of resources from other critical areas to cater for these avoidable imbalances. This policy, about 52-page document, also talks about who should implement this. The National Health Insurance under this policy was supposed to be a regulator. Mm-hmm. And then selected health insurance providers in the country are the ones who implement this. It's unclear who has been selected as of now.
And I can't wait to get more on the Pulse at 3 p.m. on the Joy News channel with Elton Broby. Well, there's been reactions to this. And the Center for Democratic Development Fellow on Public Health, Kwame Sapong-Esiedu, says the policy may be in breach of several laws if it is made to stay.
Dr. Bernard Okoboy said this was going to start on the 1st of July. That gives me a lot of jitters, because if it's not being discussed by Cabinet, how was Dr. Bernard Okoboy unequivocal in stating the date? Unless, of course, he's telling us that Graphic is reporting false news or have misquoted him. If they haven't, and the statement doesn't deny that, and if they haven't, then the next thing comes in. And that what sort of law were they coming? Were they coming under a legislative instrument? Were they going to go through Parliament? Were they going to go through an executive instrument? And even if they were going to do that, and the information came out yesterday, how long does it take for these instruments to mature? So when you put it all together, then it means that one of two things is happening. The politicians came to test the water, because like you rightly said, there's been a policy since 2023. There was a lunch in February by the former health minister. A price was quoted as well, Peter, to the current health minister. If it's not being discussed by cabinet, if it's not going to parliament's fees and charges, how was he so categorical in putting these informations out? That, for me, leaves a lot to be desired.
So from the policy that you heard my colleague Elton Broby outline, it makes it clear that only health insurance companies in the private sector will underwrite the program. The NHIA in this model will only act as a regulator. Kwame Sapong-Esiedu says there's a lack of transparency in the selection process. He spoke to Winston Amo on the Super Morning Show.
Because every country globally, we are going towards universal health coverage where finance should not be a barrier at the point of use of health care, it would be difficult to disagree with the policy. The policy in itself is not a bad thing. So we need to know what stone they are stepping on. Because there are rumors, and I'll not put the name out, but there are rumors that there is an insurance company selected to underwrite this. And if that is true, then we need to know the process of the selection.
I look at the policy and says, 25 says, the National Health Insurance Authority will ensure that only private commercial health insurance schemes are qualified to apply for license to operate under the National Non-Resident Visitors Health Insurance Scheme.
Thank you. So there's some disingenuity in the statement that the Ministry of Health has put out today. The NHI is the regulator, is the statutory regulator, but they are not going to operationalize this. And private insurers are going to, and that is clearly stated in black and white.
Yeah.
That's Kwame Sapongesiedu there interacting with my colleague Winston Amwa on the Super Morning Show. Let me take you to the Upper West region now, where residents of Wa say they are living in fear following the alleged murder of two night security men in the municipality. The two incidents took place at different locations, where one of them, a 62-year-old Na Biengu Kobina, was allegedly slaughtered. In the other incident, which took place at the Wa Model Basic School, a middle-aged man is alleged to have been murdered and suspected to have been burned and buried and the school compound. Join News Upper West Regional Correspondent Rafiq Salam has been monitoring this, joins us on the line with further updates. I must warn you about the gory details of this particular story. Let's talk about the more information that you've been able to gather when it comes to this particular incident, Rafiq.
The two security men are miles apart from each other, and then one is from Kelew, who happens to be Na Biengu Kobina. He's actually the security man for the satellite office of the Wa East District office located at Konta. And this morning, the people woke up to the Star News office, alleged slaughter at the veranda of where he's the security man for the area. It was there that we also learned that another security man known as Seydou Tasson was also allegedly murdered around the War Model School. The two crime scenes are about 1,500 kilometers away from each other. And it's also the White Forest that sandwiched these two. For now, they are still searching for the body because the police are tight-lipped about some of the issues they don't want to tell us. But the suspicion is that Seydou Tasson may have been buried and burned around the school compound. They saw a place that they think that this is where he should be in.
Well, but this is not the first time we're hearing about murders of security men on duty. What exactly is the Regional Security Council doing about the situation?
This morning, the Upper West Regional Minister, Stephen Yakubu, has to cut short his visit to the Sotala West and came to the crime scene. So he came and inspected the first body, and that's happened to Na Biengu. And he says that the security on top of the issues, and he's assuring the public that this the expression of fear. They think that they have gotten enough security men, they have gotten people to be on the lookout so that they will be able to unravel the mystery surrounding these issues of mysterious killings in the world of equality.
But we've just been told that it was a very deep throat, like cuts, like a human being being slaughtered. It looks like if they hit him with a stone, got him unconscious, and then slitted the throat. We were asking whether there was some kind of struggle here and there, but it seems as if it's a one blow to the head and then the cut. I also wanted to know whether there's some human parts that was taken. So far, it doesn't show that, but of course, as they do more investigation, we'll get to know that. So that is where we are.
Has it come to your notice that there's a similar incident within the town? Within town,
around the Wamadu.
Around the Wamadu. That they have beheaded another man.
We are just on our way there to find out whether indeed what they are saying is true. So.
That's the Upper West Regional Minister, Stephen Yakubu, still on law, crime and justice. At this time, businessman Richard Japa is scheduled to undergo cross-examination within the hour by the Attorney General this afternoon, marking a pivotal moment in the ongoing ambulance trial. Well, this follows the completion of cross-examination by lawyers representing Dr. Atuforsen, the first accused last Thursday. The court had admitted an audio recording into evidence capturing a conversation between Godfred Yeboah Adame and Richard Japa, the third accused in the case. Well, Deputy Attorney General Alfred Tiayeboah says the cross-examination will offer the platform to tell their story.
He has given his evidence in chief. That's his case. But if you come to court and state your case, it doesn't mean that you made your case. I just want to rest there. We are going to cross-examine him. I don't really, you make your own judgment. Because already it's something in the audios that we've heard, so it's not something new. And wait for our side of the matter, and you'll be marveled. You rest there.
The audio, you didn't want the judge to readmit it into evidence. That has happened. Are you disappointed?
Oh, the judge has given a ruling. That's how the law works. If you think you don't want something to be admitted, you raise an objection. This is the duty of the judge to make a pronouncement of such objections.
That's the Deputy Attorney General, Alfred Tiayeboah. Let me take you live to court. Latif Idris is there for us. There were some uncertainties about whether Godfred Yeboah Adame himself will be in court. What are you gathering, Latif?
Yeah, my first girlfriend, the Abuadami, is not in court today. Maybe he's taking the advice of the trial judge. We do not know. But today, just like the last time, Thursday, when he should have been caught, he didn't come to court. Ricky Jackman, like you mentioned, is expected to mount the witness. In fact, as I speak with you, he has mounted the witness box. And just before the attorney general or the prosecution started the court examination, the deputy attorney general rose and said that he has heard audio recording of the proceedings in court, the court proceedings from last Thursday, according to the deputy AG, has been circulated on WhatsApp platforms. And so, MFR, I speak with you now. The trial judge has entered the chamber together with all the lawyers and prosecution to go and verify the claim by the deputy attorney general. According to the trial judge, if this is confirmed, then she would be left with no other option but to sack a number of people from the courtroom.
Well, but it's unclear when exactly this cross-examination will also happen now that they are in the conclave, I should say.
No, so once she comes out from the chambers with the lawyers, the cross-examination would take off.
Okay.
The Attorney General or prosecution has, in all, they have 6 hours to cross-examine Richard Jaffa. But it is clear now that they will not have all 6 hours today. According to the trial judge, they will do 3 hours today and then on Thursday, they will come back and do the remaining 3 hours.
That's my colleague Latif Idris monitoring events for us in court, taking us on a quick break here on the Midday News live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra and Kumasi. We are on Love 99.5 FM live on myjoyonline.com. It's proudly supported by Petrosol, your clean fuel in full quantity. Also by Duraplus Ghana Limited, where Duraplus goes, water flows. We've been on the ground where we've been hearing the expression of disgust with placards and pouring of libation, characterizing today's Hands Off Our Hotels demonstration as minority and labor unions demand halt to 60% sale of state hotels to our Greek minister, Brian Echampong. We return from the break with sports and households. Brace up. Farmers warn food prices, especially tomatoes, will continue to increase as the agricultural ministry's interventions comes too late.
What is making the situation worse now, which is likely to continue for the next 2 months, is because even when you go to Burkina now, the tomatoes is not there.
Their
production season is so going.
Let's do sports.
Yes, MFI. Dramatic finale in the Ghana Premier League over the weekend with Hearts of Oaks surviving relegation after a 3-2 comeback win over Bechem United. Hearts of Lions also came from behind to secure a 2-2 draw against Brekum Chelsea, which was pivotal for their survival. Now, the nature of the goals and the decisions by match officials in these two matches have brought the integrity of the league into question. Some fans believe the outcomes were compromised.
This is the league every year when we are organizing Ghana Football Awards. We tend to award coaches and players from this same league. Why are we not allowing reality to put teams in check?
Amankuna has scored 19 goals and videos have gone around of some of the goals that he scored. Do you think any top 5 European club would want to purchase Amankuna because he scored 19 goals in the Ghana Premier League?
And it's like it's trending towards a certain cartel. That is why you can get a goal king here. You move abroad and he can't even score 5 goals.
Now we don't even have a headline sponsor. Bet Power came and withdrew their sponsorship for whatever reason best known to them.
Yes, so some fans on the Ghana Premier League.
Okay, have you had lunch already?
Not yet.
I know you like your fufu and light soup.
Brace yourself.
Time will come, you may not get that light soup because tomato prices keeps on soaring. My colleague, Semefa Besu, has been to the Malamata market because the farmers are telling us that we should brace up for increase in prices of tomatoes. She's been bringing us more.
This 120 cedis, 40 cedis.
We sell 4 for 20 and 40 cedis. We import the tomatoes from Cote d'Ivoire and the prices are affected by the CFA.
This is not Musa Abanisa.
My market, you want to meet with here. We're saying 200 cedis. We're 100 cedis. We're 40 cedis.
People cannot buy the tomatoes when they come to the market. 20, 40, and 100 cedis. How much will the person buy aside from the other ingredient before preparing his or her food?
Vendors are seeking government intervention to stabilize the prices of essential inputs. They also hope for better infrastructure support to reduce transportation costs.
The tomato business has collapsed. Many people cannot afford it anymore. and many prefer the tomato paste to the fresh ones. We are pleading for government intervention.
Enough. Omu ye bina. Omu ti di ba meye to ogana. Anke ye bi ogana anke biti maboy.
That's Rejoice Semefakpesu's report. Well, the minority on the Agri Committee say they'll be summoning the sector minister, Brian Echampong, to brief the House on government intervention. Well, meanwhile, President Akufo-Addo is advocating for peace in Ukraine, emphasizing that resolving the conflict is crucial to stabilizing food, trade, and ease the economic pressures caused by the war's disruption.
The ripple effects of the Russia-Ukraine conflict have reached far and wide.